Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Linda Lasday interviewing Harry Lasday on October 17, 1983. Would you tell us your address, please, Mr. Lasday?
Yes, sure. 5825 Darlington Road, Pittsburgh 17. Now you want to check it back?
Okay. Mr. Lasday, would you tell us about your immediate family, your father, mother, and brothers and sisters?
Well, I was born and raised in Homestead back in 1902. My father had a ladies' dry goods store. It was, at that time, I guess they'd call it a variety store. And as I grew older, my father became president of the school board of Homestead, of the borough of Homestead. And during his term of office, they built a new high school for the city, so that this town of Homestead, and to this day, it's still in use.
Very interesting. Want to tell us about your mother? Did you have any brothers
mother,
and sisters?
Mother was interested in activities, in the Jewish activities. She loved to bake and cook.
Were both your parents from Pittsburgh or from the Pittsburgh area?
Well, they're foreign born, but they settled in Pittsburgh and Homestead many, many years ago.
Did you have brothers or sisters?
Yes, I was the fourth boy in the family. I was the disappointment.
That's funny. You want to tell us a little bit about your home atmosphere?
Well, Dad wasn't too strict with us kids. We certainly respected him and loved him. And we'd never do anything that was wrong. Both mother and dad were very, very fine parents. We loved them very dearly.
How would you contrast life in Homestead as with Pittsburgh?
Well, of course, Homestead being a much smaller town, didn't have many of the social activities of the city or the educational activity of the city, but it was a close companionship. It seems that everybody was friendly there. And we enjoyed it until my dad left the school board. He left, we moved into Munhall, which is the next borough, and because of that, he was out of politics. Then I went into the Munhall High School. I was very much interested in athletics, and I was on various sport teams for the school, and graduated in 1921 from Munhall High.
Did you go to grade school in Homestead or in Munhall?
Grade school in Homestead until we moved to Munhall, and then that was high school age, and I was possibly eighth grade in Munhall and finished in my high school days in Munhall.
Were teaching situations much like they are today? Did teachers
do the same thing? Well, of course,
I
don't know what they were today, but the teachers seemed to be older than they seem to be much younger today. The teachers are much younger today, but they seem to be better equipped, possibly. I don't know.
What were your adolescent years like? What did you do for fun and recreation?
Well, the fun and recreation was around the school and socials and things of that nature. We had a little boys' club connected with the local YMHA there. We call it the Young Boys Hebrew Association. And we had a little picnics and going out on little affairs.
then after you got married, you set up in Braddock, right? You set up your job in Braddock.
Well, I was in Braddock. I bought out my brother-in-law's jewelry store. He had taken me into the business prior, 4 or 5 years prior to that, and I suppose I learned so much in the jewelry business that I was able and capable to handle it myself, and I bought him out. He was the optometrist in the store, and he remained there, and at the same time, he helped me as time went on.
What year was that? About?
About 1928, 30.
The jewelry store then was more than just a jewelry store. There was, you mentioned an optometrist.
Yes, yes. My brother-in-law was an optometrist. Also, my father-in-law was an optometrist.
Did you sell other things besides jewelry in the store?
No, mostly jewelry. At that time, jewelry stores had crystal and china, and besides silverware and diamonds and so forth.
What was your social life like, in your family vacations, your hobbies?
Oh, yes. We used to travel quite a bit, my wife and myself, mostly by machine, by automobile. We'd be down Florida every year for possibly 8 or 10, 15 years straight. For the winter months, and once or twice we rented a home there for the winter. Then I brought all my family down.
Mm-hmm. You've lived in this area right through since you've been married. How has the neighborhood changed between what it first when you first moved here and now?
Well, when we first moved here, we knew everybody, all our neighbors. But it's got so that people move and they don't have much to do with one another.
The area we're speaking about is Squirrel Hill around Forbes and Murray. Was it as built up at the time
pretty,
you moved
pretty
here?
Much so. Pretty much so. But there are new stores that have been opened up over the years, up to more up-to-date fronts. Stores are more up to date.
My mother spoke of dirt roads still being in evidence around here, Forbes Street, or somewhere around. Do you remember any of this?
That I don't recall. Might have been narrower streets, but I don't think they were dirt.
There was dirt road when they moved here. Mrs. was telling me.
Okay.
Yes, there were streetcars.
Were you able to get from one section, one neighborhood to another? Were the bridges in use that are now, for instance, up by the Marfield Apartments, was there a bridge, or did you just take a streetcar?
There was a. I remember definitely the time that bridge was built. You're talking about the one down near the Marfield.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we would take a streetcar up to a certain point. We'd all have to get out and walk underneath the trestles that they were building to get on the other side. And that happened. That possibly we did for a couple of years until the bridge was completed entirely.
I see. I think we've covered some of this before. How would you contrast the way you were raised with the way you raised your children?
Well, first we loved our mother and dad very much. We'd never do anything to hurt them. And as a result, we were never punished. And I took a leaf from my dad and mother's book, and we brought up our children, it was the same way. They were never punished. However, we did punish them in such a way that it wasn't with a strap around, we'd put them in the corner. And that was more of a punishment than if they were beaten.
Did they have the same kinds of schooling you did?
They had the same opportunities, of course, but I think that their schools during their lifetime was a little more advanced, and possibly their subjects went into higher grades than what we had during our lifetime.
After high school, for instance, did your education continue? Did your children's education continue?
Well, the children went on to college. As far as I was concerned, I went to Pitt Knight School. And one time there, I went to pharmacy school for about a year.
And how about your wife? Didn't she go to music school?
Mother was interested in music very much, and she went into Pittsburgh Musical Institute, I think they called it. She took up the piano and singing.
How would you contrast Pittsburgh today with Pittsburgh yesterday, both socially, culturally, politically?
Well, Pittsburgh today is a very highly cultural city. There's so much activity going along in Pittsburgh today that we didn't have.
Such as?
Well, they have the concerts today that we didn't have. They had the operas coming into the town that we didn't have. Think of that nature.
Mother spoke of the circuses unloading here, or down on the site of Old Davis School, a big top, elephants, and all kinds of things.
Yes, that was the height of our summer activities when the circus came to town. It was right in our back door.
We didn't have any of that because circuses, when we were little children, were just, we didn't see them putting up the tents. They weren't under big tops then. So you want to tell us about that?
Well, they were all big tops in those days. They were all tents. And they would come in mostly at the land at the East Liberty Station. And they'd come right up to Shady Avenue, right up to this, it was a mammoth lot. I believe there's five or six apartment houses on it today. But that was one of our exciting moments. And at that particular time when the circus came to town. It was always a clean circus. It wasn't one of these circuses possibly you'd see now.
That'll be 18.
Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Ruth Edelstein. I am interviewing Mr. Lasday. This is October 18th, 1983. Mr. Lasday, you were telling us on the first tape and a little bit on this about your life in Braddock and all the activities you were in, and especially about your shop. Let me ask you now, what about the people who lived in Braddock, the different kinds? You mentioned at one point that there were gypsies. Where did they come from?
Braddock was a melting pot. It seems that every country in Europe was represented in that little town. And there was one section in Braddock that were a band of gypsies lived. I say a band because they're very clannish. I would say there may be about, by the railroads, there was about 8 or 10 houses very close together. And of course there were the people that lived there just crowded themselves in these homes. There might have been 100, 150 gypsies in these 10 or 12 houses. And I remember distinctly when one of them would die, they would have a parade where all the gypsy boys would be playing the violin and marching up the street in front of a casket which was carried on the shoulder of about a half a dozen men. And they'd walk for blocks from the home to the cemetery. And that was, we could hear the drum of the dirge of the music, which they played all the way, the same tune, all the way from the undertaker or from the home to the cemetery. And it was a very interesting sight to see and to hear.
Do you know what country the gypsies came from originally?
Oh, I guess they're from Hungary and from some of those countries in around Hungary.
Mm. Are they still in Braddock?
No, they've gone. It seems that they've disappeared. They've just gone elsewhere. There always was one or two of them that were the boss of the group, and we knew that because when they went up the street, their chests would just expand. It seems that they're so important. They felt so important.
Do you know what kind of work they did in Braddock? How did they make a living?
They mostly lived. They worked at the mill, and they'd get on street corners and start playing and pass their hat around and things of that nature. But they always seemed to have money. Mm-hmm. Where from, I wouldn't know.
You mentioned that Braddock was a melting pot. What other ethnic groups lived there, and where did they work?
Well, Braddock, the Carnegie Steel Company was the headquarters of almost every ethnic group there that worked. They would have bands of people come in from out of the country, men, to work in the mill. Mm-hmm. They'd send over people to pick them up.
You mentioned last time also that there were a number of black Negro families, black families living there. Did these men also work in the mill?
They also worked in the mill, but today there are more black people than whites in the town.
Mm-hmm. And the time that you had your shop there, were the blacks in were they a small minority?
They were a very small minority at that time. It was mostly a foreign element from Europe that we had contact with. Mostly was the foreign people.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned that your shop was more than a shop, that it was a meeting place. Could you tell us more about that?
Well, I suppose if anybody wanted any affair in town, they'd come into the store, and we'd have to arrange the place and the time and so forth. They wanted the library for a social event. We'd have to arrange it. That is why I say we. I mean, through my efforts in the store, we'd have to arrange everything for them.
What other activities did you do in Braddock beside your store? What community activities were you involved in?
Well, I was involved with the Lions Club there. And I was...
What did the Lions Club do? What is it?
Well, they're also, beside being a social club, they really do wonders and with the blind and the poor, and we had a lot of affairs and help that we gave them, that is the poor. And it was quite an asset to the town because of the effort we put into it.
What kind of help did you give the poor?
Well, possibly they needed glasses or they needed food. Would help them. Sometimes would go and take care of their rent and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were quite a bit of that.
So it acted like a social service agency,
right.
and
more of a social service agent.
And you helped? Did you help only certain people or certain ethnic groups? Or
no, we were there to help anybody and everybody that needed it. Didn't make any difference if they were black or white.
You mentioned also you were on the school board. Could you tell us about that?
Well, I wasn't elected to the school board, but I was accepted possibly as one of the friends of the school board, say it that way. I would arrange for them to get hardware and merchandise and things like that for the school. I was just a good guy and helping them get around.
Uh-huh.
I was on many drives. I was on the housing.
What did you do for the housing? Was it a city commission at that time?
Well, it was an appointment by the mayor for the city council. I don't know just which. We constructed two buildings. One was the first. One of the buildings was around 10 or 12 stories high, and it had the first elevator. It was the first elevator in town, in fact.
Oh, and do you know? Can you remember what year that was?
1928, 29, 30.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The buildings are still there. I wouldn't say they're as good a shape as we had them at that time.
What kind of apartment buildings were they? Were they for middle class or low income?
Well, they were usually those that couldn't afford. It was the middle and the lower class people.
And was it fully rented all the time?
Well, the places, we had a waiting list to get in there. There were so many people, it was in demand. So many people wanted to get in there because it was so much different than where they were living.
Yes. Was this built with city funds?
I think it was government funds at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I was on various drives, the Salvation Army and the Red Cross. Every year I headed them up.
Can you tell us a little about the social life in Braddock? What did you and your family do?
Well, we were so close. We were so close to Pittsburgh. Mostly our social life was in Pittsburgh. But when I was in Braddock, we had quite a few affairs with the older people. It seemed that was my... I like to help the older people. And I know a group of them, politicians, came into the store and wanted me to set up a political meeting at a political banquet. And I said, no, I wouldn't be involved in politics, but if you set it up differently, call it away, get it away from politics, I might be interested. So as a result, we had an affair. I suppose they're still talking about it. This is 40 years ago, where we catered to the elderly. We gave them a banquet, and there was the biggest crowd that the Vogue Terrace ever had. Up to that moment.
And who was invited? The elderly of which groups?
There wasn't any stipulations as to who could come.
Anyone in the town that
wanted to come. And as a result, we had possibly 100, 150 older couples in the town and nearby town. It was a community like Braddock, North Braddock, Rankin. It's just a community affair.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is the end of tape side one.